of the rimfall only served to give the silence a heavier texture. Then the rocking chair started to creak again. Tethys seemed to have grown alarmingly during the monologue.
"There is nothing personal in all this," he added. "I, too, am a slave. If you try to overpower me, I shall have to kill you, of course, but I won't take any particular pleasure in it."
Rincewind looked at the shimmering fists that rested lightly in the troll's lap. He suspected they could strike with all the force of a tsunami.
"I don't think you understand," explained Twoflower. "I am a citizen of the Golden Empire. I'm sure Kral would not wish to incur the displeasure of the Emperor."
"How will the Emperor know?" asked the troll. "Do you think you're the first person from the Empire who has ended up on the circumfence?"
"I won't be a slave," shouted Rincewind. I'd jump over the edge first."
He was amazed at the sound of his own voice.
"Would you, though?"
asked the troll. The rocking chair flicked back against the wall, and one blue arm caught the wizard round the waist. A moment later, the troll was striding out of the shack, with Rincewind gripped carelessly in one fist. He did not stop until he came to the rimward edge of the island. Rincewind squealed.
"Stop that, or I really will throw you over the edge," snapped the troll. "I'm holding you, aren't I? Look."
Rincewind looked. In front of him was a soft black knight, whose mist-muted stars glowed peacefully. But his eyes turned downwards, drawn by some irresistible fascination. It was midnight on the disk, and so therefore the sun was far, far below, swinging slowly under Great Artuin's vast and frosty plastron. Rincewind tried a last attempt to fix his gaze on the tips of his boots, which were protruding over the rim of the rock. But the sheer drop wrenched it away. On either side of him, two glittering curtains of water hurtled towards infinity as the sea swept around the island on its way to the long fall. 100 yards below the wizard, the largest sea salmon he had ever seen flicked itself out of the foam in a wild, jerky, and ultimately hopeless leap. Then it fell back, over and over, into the golden underworld light. Huge shadows grew out of that light like pillars supporting the roof of the universe. Hundreds of miles below him, the wizard made out the shape of something, the edge of something. Like those curious little pictures where the silhouette of an ornate glass suddenly becomes the outline of two faces, the scene beneath him flipped into a whole new terrifying perspective. Because down there was the head of an elephant, as big as a reasonably sized continent. One mighty tusk cut like a mountain against the golden light, trailing a widening shadow towards the stars. The head was slightly tilted, and a huge, ruby eye might almost have been a red supergiant that had managed to shine at noonday. Below the elephant, Rincewind swallowed and tried not to think, below the elephant there was nothing but the distant, painful disk of the sun. And sweeping slowly past it was something that, for all its city-sized scales, its crater pox, its lunar cragginess, was indubitably a flipper.
"Shall I let go?" suggested the troll.
"Nah," said Rincewind, straining backwards.
"I have lived here on the edge for 5 years, and I have not had the courage," boomed Tethys. "Nor have you, if I'm any judge."
He stepped back, allowing Rincewind to fling himself on the ground. Twoflower strolled up to the rim and peered over.
"Fantastic," he said. "If only I had my picture box. What else is down there? I mean, if you jumped off, what would you see?"
Tethys sat down on an outcrop. High over the disk, the moon came out from behind a cloud, giving him the appearance of ice.
"My home is down there, perhaps," he said slowly. "Beyond your silly elephants and that ridiculous turtle. A real world. Sometimes I come out here and look, but somehow I can never bring myself to take that extra step. A real world with real people. I have wives and little ones somewhere down there."
He stomped and blew his nose.
"You soon learn what you're made of. Here on the edge."
"Stop saying that, please," moaned Rincewind. He turned over and saw Twoflower standing unconcernedly on the very lip of the rock. "Nah," he said, and tried to burrow.